The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Let's do it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday, May 17th, 2000. Oh, you know what I feel like right now?
Dummy.
Yeah.
It's May 17th, 2023, and this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted on the Podzilla 1985 Network. Now, just so you know, there is going to be a lot less news this week and a lot more of this. Things like that.
Discord allowed us to upload sound clips, and it was the worst mistake they ever made.
We just discovered this.
It was the best and worst thing to ever happen to the show.
We just discovered it before the show, so we've only got two uploaded. We thought they were very fun for wrestling. What the real fun's going to be is tomorrow on Godzilla After Dark, when every time Jesse says something we disagree with, and we go,
"Dummy,
yeah." I'm serious, man. The fact that I knew the name Eli Drake but knew nothing about him before he came to WWE as LA Knight, and then the fact that it took a long time for me to catch on to LA Knight and the whole
yeah
makes me very sad. I could have been enjoying this for 6 years probably now.
Yeah, well,
and
yeah,
it's only just now that exactly. And then I didn't know a thing about the dummy button or anything. I think it was Asa who mentioned it. I was like, Have you not seen like the previous stuff? Because I was really just into the that he was doing as LA Knight.
It turns out he's been doing it for a while. Yeah,
he's been doing it a long time, and it warms my little wrestling heart, especially to just have it on tap to just go.
Dummy, yeah.
God damn it! They are going to hate
my
us.
Favorite version of it. Oh,
they are going to hate us so much for doing this. By the way, my name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight with me. I'll make that a button so I don't have to say it anymore. I'll just hit.
There you go.
You know, yeah.
We should make some productive buttons for sure. We don't, you got to have one that goes, "It's Saturday," and then it's just me going, "It's not.
It's not." Like all the classics, we'll save them on there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So with that said, that's
and I am
that's everything.
This is
Double H.
if we had managed to get through a normal intro and you had gotten me, I was just gonna go,
"Dummy, yeah,
yeah." That was gonna be my intro. That was gonna be the whole thing.
I imagine Dalton right now is listening to this, going, "Oh, for fuck's sake!"
Like, so, no, he loves it. So, he loves it. He has messaged me before after we've done the show and been like, "I had no idea you loved this so much," and it's just enjoyable to listen to you get giddy about it.
Yeah, yeah. I can't say yeah anymore without hearing it. The problem
it's ruined the simplest word.
Right. The problem is that you and I are very similar in that we take something that is funny, and then we
will run a bit,
drive that fucker into the ground. Yeah. Until we find it funny.
We don't think it's funny.
Yeah. Really quick, I just noticed this on 411 Mania, and as you know,
please don't tell me it's the bad news that I was going to use.
It's not.
I bet it is.
It's not. But I'll let you do that in a second.
I bet it is.
No, this is absolutely not. I guarantee you. If it is, No, I just saw a thing. John Cena apparently was on 92NY. With Josh Horowitz, no relation to Barry Horowitz, of course, but give yourself a pat on the back real quick. And he said that his most valued feud was facing off against Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania. He said on why the Firefly Funhouse match holds a special place for him, "I did a unique piece of programming called the Firefly Funhouse match, which was a giant exercise in vulnerability. I worked my ass off on that thing, and I thank everyone who was involved because no one does it alone, but it was kind of my brainchild and my creation." So John Cena's out of his fucking mind, it sounds like. So the thing I hate most in wrestling this week, it doesn't matter what I had planned after I've read this, it's still this match. I absolutely hated the Firefly Funhouse match. I thought it was entertaining, don't get me wrong, but like, I am somewhat
it wasn't a match.
I'm somewhat of a wrestling purist.
It wasn't a match.
I'm a snob.
Yeah.
I have some Jim Cornette in me. I'm sorry to say for all of you out there that hate Jim Cornette, but I like my wrestling to
be. I don't think you have to be for this. This wasn't a match.
It wasn't a match. I mean, well, it's not. And
it
just.
That was a spectacle.
Yeah, but it's not even just that it wasn't a match for me. It was also the fact that, like, you know, we always talked about how much I disliked the deletion matches from Matt Hardy because I hate that so over the top that reality has gone bye-bye. But at least with the deletion matches, they kept it within the same realm of existence, I guess we'll say. Whereas the Firefly...
When you go to one of those things, it happens, and it's in its own little bubble, and it's kind of never referenced again.
And you know, they jump in the lake of... I forget what it was called. The lake of reincarnation. Yeah. And that's silly, right? It's silly, of course. But Firefly Funhouse match took that to a whole new level because John Cena literally went to a different dimension where he went back in time and he changed history where he was in the NWO. He changed history and he tried to hit Bray Wyatt with a chair. Bray Wyatt ended up pinning him with the Fiend or something. I don't know. It was the most... That will probably go down as the match I hate most in the history of wrestling. More than wrestling a blow-up doll, more than wrestling the Invisible... Well, no, the Invisible Man's pretty bad, too. And if Dalton... Don't fucking talk to me, Dalton. I swear to Christ. You message me tomorrow and go, Invisible Man's awesome. Invisible Stan's awesome. Shut up. You know what you are, Dalton? This is what you strike me
you
as right
the
now.
The real-life button.
Gummy. Yeah.
Yeah. There it is. You need the button in real life.
I hate this match. So that's what I hate most in wrestling this week, is that I was reminded that the Firefly Funhouse match ever happened.
And it also, not to harp on this for too long, because it's you know several years ago now, and other than just being reminded of it now, it led to nothing. It accomplished nothing, really. Wyatt won, but at what cost? I mean, he got nothing out of it, and you know his current run has not been much. I mean he hawked some Mountain Dew back in January and
I'm starting to think that Bray Wyatt might not be the creative genius we all thought he was.
We've talked about it here.
Go ahead.
He's a very creative person and he might be a genius. That doesn't mean he's good at putting that out in the world,
especially in the world of wrestling.
Being a creative does not mean that you are also talented. There's a reason that there's often a difference between the people who create TV shows and movies and all that and people who then produce them and put them out onto your screen. So, what were you saying?
Well, I get it, by the way. I get it. I was very similar. If you go back, if you talk to Jason Wells about me in the beginning of CCW, I very much tried to pitch all these crazy, wild ideas that didn't really go anywhere. I'm glad Jason was there to kind of rein me in because it could have gotten bad. But, you know, he takes the cake on that. Now, really quick. Okay, you're good. I was worried your mic wasn't on. We're good. What I was going to say originally was, nope. No, it's gone.
Lost it.
It's gone.
It's okay.
Shit.
Creativity is a great thing, but again, you almost always need another person or at least someone who's specifically there to help temper that.
So I remembered it. I was going to say I'm gonna submit something to Botchamania of the clip from The Simpsons where Homer is on the ground. Like, he's doing that thing where he's on his side and he's running in a circle, so he's like spinning in a circle. And then he's going, whoop, 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 whoop. And Mr. Burns says, I'm beginning to think Homer Simpson's not as intelligent as we thought he was. And I'm just going to put Bray Wyatt on Homer's face and put, like, Triple H on Mr. Burns. Because, I think that I can't do it anymore. Bray Wyatt, I like some aspects of Bray Wyatt, but, man, I hate paranormal shit in wrestling. I love horror movies and I love wrestling. The two should never intertwine. What do you hate in wrestling this week?
Real quick before we get away from that, it's just never. The Undertaker worked really well, right? We can agree the Undertaker worked really well, except for the times he didn't, because there were still things there that didn't work. And no one, and like Kane, like some stuff about Kane worked, but anytime that it went beyond just the basics of, you know, this is cool, this guy controls lightning, and this guy controls fire, and they're spooky. Anytime you get past that, the mythology gets to be too much. Bray Wyatt is trying to do more mythology than a Swedish metal band.
Yeah.
Like, he's trying to create more lore for a character that gets 10 minutes of screen time a week if you're lucky.
Plus, he's a fucking wrestler. I'm not looking for, like...
Is he? We barely ever see him wrestle. That's the thing.
What I mean by that is he is in the wrestling business. He is a quote-unquote wrestler. I'm not looking for, like, sure. 900 episodes of anime backstory for this wrestler.
No.
You know?
No, the swamp, the like, marsh...
The cult leader.
Cult leader...
Was great.
Was cool.
Yeah.
Because you didn't need a bunch of lore for that. He said a bunch of weird shit, and you went... That makes no fucking sense, and that's why it's scary.
Yeah.
Like, it's scary that this guy is saying all this stuff. You could tell he believes everything he's saying, but it really doesn't mean anything.
Right.
That was scary. When it started getting, like, quote-unquote realistic and serious, and like, the kids, you know, the kids' choir singing and all that.
The hologram. The hologram of the kid. You know?
Oh, my God. Too much. It was too much. I'll bring this back to Earth in a very unfortunate way. I'll tell you, the thing I hate the most in wrestling this week is Tanner. Because he's not here to deliver the kind of news that he normally does.
Oh, I don't like
superstar
this.
Billy Graham passed away.
Hmm.
About an hour ago. It's still all being confirmed, but it was Ric Flair who first tweeted something about him being taken off of life support and that he was gone. He said the superstar Billy Graham just left us. Thank you all for all your influence on my career. Dave Meltzer chimed in after that. So I didn't know this. 2 days ago, go back further than that. 3 weeks ago, Billy Graham was put into the ICU. He had what his family only described as a myriad of health issues. He was in bad shape. He was 79, and that they were, like, asking for prayers and all the kinds of things you do when an older family member is undergoing a lot of medical issues. 2 days ago, reportedly, doctors wanted to take him off of life support, that they were basically saying, this is as good as it's going to get. We've done everything we can do. And so I don't know if they did take him off of life support. Everyone is still kind of getting all the details right now. But he is officially gone. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you, I didn't know a lot about Billy Graham. Billy Graham was significantly before my time, before your time, you know, all things considered. We knew of them, I would say, or I don't want to speak for you. I knew of him, but I didn't know a whole lot about his career specifically. But anytime you first of all, a success story that you get a guy, I laughed too much earlier, now I can't talk. You get a guy who was such a big influence on the wrestling scene, who makes it into his 80s. I mean, it's kind of sad to say, but that's just so rare.
It's unusual
for that to be the case. Yeah. But for a guy to make it that long, and I don't want to say fall into obscurity, I don't think that he did necessarily, but you didn't see a lot of Billy Graham after his initial run. He wasn't making a lot of returns and that kind of thing, like a lot of other
wrestlers. Well, I think part of that is because he, from what I gather, everything I read is he hated everything. He hated, he kind of hated wrestling in general after the fact. And I think he may have repaired some of the bridges that he had burned, but he was very critical of wrestling today. He was very critical of WWE, and it's crazy. Superstar Billy Graham, like I he was a little bit before my time, like you said, but I am aware of the influence that he had in wrestling as a whole. I mean, there would be no Jesse the Body Ventura without Billy Graham. There'd be no Hulk Hogan without Billy Graham. If you look at Billy Graham and what he was doing in his prime with the blonde hair and the mustache and the muscles and stuff, it's just Hulk Hogan. The way he dresses, the way he dresses was just Jesse the Body Ventura. I mean, these guys borrowed so liberally from superstar Billy Graham that he definitely, I mean, he's one of the greatest of all time by far. But he was before our time. I mean, I started in the 80s. You know, with late 80s Hogan and Savage and guys like that, Billy Graham was pretty much done at that point. It's kind of the same thing with guys like Harley Race. And, you know, I was aware of their work. I knew they were fantastic and they were legends. Right. But I never got to see them much in the ring. But I absolutely can tell the influence.
Yeah, his Billy Graham, very much, if you look at him, if you just even go look at pictures of the guy, like you said, the appearance, the gear, the overall look. If you look at somebody like, I'm going to use, I think the Young Bucks are probably the best example I can think of. You look at the Young Bucks today, and they're pretty indicative of a wrestler, like of a 2020s wrestler or a 2010s wrestler. Like, they, not to say they're generic, but like you look at those guys, that's what you think of when you think of a modern wrestler.
Yeah.
In appearance. Billy Graham was very much that guy in the, you know, 70s, like basically would have been his main heyday. at that time. So you go back 50 years and that's who was a wrestler. You picture a wrestler and that's the guy who comes to mind.
Right.
So that sucks, man. I mean, it sucks that he's gone.
And he was ahead of his time. I mean, you know, the shit he was doing, like I said, the muscles, the look, the attitude, the swagger.
Right.
He was a trendsetter. He was a superstar. He was absolutely a trendsetter.
Before WWF was calling anybody superstars, he was a superstar.
And you know, it can't be diminished how important his influence on guys like Hulk Hogan is, because Hogan, you know, growing up in the 80s, late 80s, and being aware of Hulk Hogan, what I remember about Hogan the most was the over-the-top attitude, the blonde hair, the mustache, and the muscles. That's just Billy Graham.
Yeah.
That absolutely is just Billy Graham. Could you imagine if Hogan had not been influenced by Billy Graham? And I don't want to say Hogan took Billy Graham's shtick, because, I mean, you can hardly find anyone in entertainment, you know, in any industry at this point, that doesn't take, you know, pieces from someone else that did it before them. There's
nothing new left under the sun.
Right.
I mean, you're doing influencing from something everywhere.
Yeah.
No matter what you're doing.
Every high flyer I see now when they do shit and everybody's like, wow, that's incredible, I think, like, well, I mean, that looks like Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio was doing that stuff.
That's the Hardy Boys.
That's the Hardy Boys.
Yeah, it's the same guy.
So you can't understate just how important Billy Graham was, because if Billy Graham hadn't been around for Hogan to cherry pick certain aspects from him, we never would have had that wrestling boom in the 80s. If we didn't have that wrestling boom in the 80s, we would not have wrestling in the state that it is in now. You know, it's profitable, but, you know, in the 80s, man, everyone knew wrestling. And we kind of get back to that point nowadays with just how it's everywhere. I mean, between WWE and AEW, I think there's 300 hours per week of wrestling just between the two. And
that's not even on
and
TV.
There's more, because not to cut away from talking about Billy Graham. Because
we actually have a weirdly lot of stuff to talk about. After earlier today, I was like, man, is there anything really to go over? And the internet went, yes.
Yeah, we're going to make things happen. AEW officially announced its new show, Collision. Because that's...
Saturday Night Wrestling is back.
That's what you need. Is another fucking show for AEW to showcase the 9 million people on the roster that they don't know how to do shit with. Listen to this. This was the press release that AEW released. Have you read it?
I haven't read it verbatim. I'm aware that one was released and I saw the poster that went with it, which I want to talk about here in a minute, but I have not read the press release. No.
So everyone said that this was going to be the return of CM Punk. This was all about Punk. They're doing this for him. But listen to this press release. The first line, TNT launches a second night of wrestling with AEW Collision. Now, here's the funny part. Listen to who they reference. Featuring headliners Thunder Rosa, Miro, Samoa Joe, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Andrade El Idolo. Okay, let's break that down. Thunder Rosa, injured, been out for like a year plus now. God knows if she's ever going to return. Miro has been gone for a year plus, has balked at any potential return that they've given him. Joe, as far as I know, is still an active wrestler, so that's good. So is Powerhouse Hobbs.
Yes.
Andrade has also been gone for God knows when. In fact, Andrade said he didn't even know Collision was coming out. And he had no idea he was going to be part of it. I'm reading the headline right now. Andrade says he had no idea about his Collision return.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. What a weird set of people.
I think he tweeted something like, what's happening?
Yeah, what a weird set of people to like, hey, here's your headliners for Collision.
So,
Thunder Rosa. You want, oh, my God. Tony Khan, I have... Do me a favor, Tony Khan. Do me a favor. Thank you.
This segues pretty well into what I wanted to talk about with that. So how much do you know about the Punk situation here?
Zero. Other than what you've posted in the chat all day.
So I hadn't read the press release. You hadn't read the Punk. Okay, so here's what I got for you. I feel like every time I start something on the show, I have to go, these are all rumors. They're all rumors. Because we don't know shit, right?
Right.
Nobody knows shit. We're just aggregating what we can get from around the internet to put it together.
Andrade didn't know shit, so.
Right. What show? So the rumor, yes, for a long time was AEW is getting, a third show, because they have Rampage on Fridays, Dynamite on Wednesdays, that they're getting a third show. And that the big plan was to do an actual roster split. Now, at this point in time, they have not announced a roster split. Internally, the rumor is that it's going to be a hard split. So we're talking about initial WWF draft, whether they do like an on-TV draft or whatever, they probably not, but it would be very much a, you guys go here, you guys go here, only a couple times a year. Are there any crossovers? And maybe once in a while, somebody moves from one show to another, you know, on a permanent basis, but you're on these shows. The continued rumor was Collision is going to be CM Punk's show. Tony Khan has had Punk sitting on the sidelines, or depending on who you ask, Punk himself has just been like, nah, fuck that, for a year after, you know, Brawl Out last summer. Omega and the Young Bucks came back later last year, right? Punk's not going to want to work with them. So the deal was, okay, we're going to go to having two-hour shows a week, Wednesday and Saturday. And then you got Rampage and ROH. So ROH films with Collision, Rampage films with Dynamite. There's your splits. They do their own separate things.
Right.
If we leave Omega and the Young Bucks on Dynamite, then we put Punk on Collision. All this time, the continued version of that rumor has been Punk has basically been cherry-picking his own talent. That Punk has been saying, I want these people on this show, and that's who I want to work with or who I think needs to get highlighted. That's why you get Miro, Thunder Rosa, FTR, right? They're also part of that.
I've seen the trailer. Samoa Joe. Yeah,
Samoa Joe specifically, because Punk wanted to work with him as his like return opponent that they wanted to, especially if Collision is going to be tied to ROH. You know, Punk and Samoa Joe had a very, very famous ROH feud, one of the biggest ones in the company's history. That's when Punk left, if I remember correctly. Yep. WWE, he signed Summer his contract Punk. On the title. Yes. So. And that would be the deal. The rumor, along with the next rumor, I should just keep saying that, was that Collision would be debuting in June, which they did, of course, confirm. It is happening next month. Did they confirm it's in Chicago? Is the first show in Chicago?
I don't remember. Hold on. I'm here at the press release. So
I've got two or three or four tabs open in front of me. It was expected to be held at the United Center in Chicago 1 month from now. Is that indeed the case? Do you have the...
So it still says it's launching on Saturday, June 17th, but I don't see anywhere about where it's going to air. It just says this live two-hour in-ring show will air every Saturday night from 8 to 10. Yeah, it doesn't say in the press release, at least.
Okay. Well, in any case, that was the deal, that they were going to call the show The Second Coming, which would be the follow-up to the First Dance, I think. They did the Michael Jordan thing for Punk last time. This one apparently is going to be a Christ illusion, which is great.
He is the Second City Saint. So.
Right. So all of this is the rumor. This is what's going to happen. And then the announcement comes down today, and Punk is not a part of it.
Yeah.
And in... like a continued part of the press release, they say that like they're not affiliated with CM Punk. So now the rumor mill gets spinning even harder. And the two like mainly prevalent theories are, okay, number one, Punk is still involved. This is the positive one. Punk is still involved, but he didn't want his name attributed to this one because he wants the other talent to get the showcase, and he's going to make a surprise appearance on that first show. That people won't know for sure if he's coming or not. They're not going to call it The Second Coming or whatever. The show's going to kick off with a bunch of stars, and then Punk will show up, and it'll be kind of revealed that he's going to be part of the Collision roster or whatever. That's the positive look at it. Unfortunately, the other version of this is that you remember Ace Steel, right, was part of the whole Brawl Out situation. He was on Punk's side. He's the one who bit a guy.
The biter, yeah.
Yeah. Ace Steel was reportedly fired at the end of last year,
right?
By AEW, they were done. He was the one who was really taking the brunt of the blows from the fallout of this whole thing. If this is to be believed, Ace Steel was going to come back and work Collision backstage, the show that Punk is on, and then AEW said, "No, we're not doing that." And then Punk said, "Well, if you're not doing that, you're not doing shit with me." And so here he has basically gotten his own, if all of this is to be believed, Punk has more or less gotten his own show, gotten to handpick the talents he wants to work with in a roster division. He says, these are the people I want highlighted on what is ostensibly my show. And then when his one buddy won't get brought back, he goes, never mind. He just Abe Simpsons it. He walks into the brothel, he grabs his hat, and walks right back out the door.
Right.
So I think that covers all of the gist of what was going on here. yeah, he wanted to work directly with Ace Steel, that might not be happening. What would be going on with them doing this? There's a reason that Miro and Thunder Rosa have been on TV, and this is why, because they wanted to kind of remind people of them.
Which, for the record,
Warner Brothers, by the way, their press release, this is what I was looking for earlier, sorry, says specifically, quote, CM Punk is not affiliated with TNT's AEW Collision. Full stop. So,
which is just insane. And you know, I've seen, yeah. I know some people aren't thrilled about Thunder Rosa coming back because of everything that's happened with Britt Baker. I just, you know, right. On a quick tangent real quick, if I may. I've worked with Thunder Rosa, and Thunder Rosa was one of the nicest, most down-to-earth, kindest people I've ever worked with. I worked with her when I was just starting out. I was still ring announcing for CCW, and she was at one of the shows. She may have been at two shows, but I know she wrestled a four-way match with a little bit Sarah Summers and Diamond Doll, if I remember correctly. And Asa actually drove her from St. Louis to the show and told me how great she was. She was super nice. She stopped at the arch because she wanted to get a picture with it because she never had. She had a Godzilla doll that she got a picture with because she loves Godzilla and she takes this doll everywhere. So immediately I liked her. I think part of the reason people dislike Thunder Rosa so much now, especially, is because Britt Baker runs her fucking mouth about her every 5 minutes. Like, you could ask, it's like Bret Hart and Goldberg. You could ask Britt Baker, hey, what do you think of the new Tears of the Kingdom? And she would say, well, fucking Thunder Rosa is too scared to come back to wrestle me, so I guess I'll play it instead. I don't get it. I don't get what Britt Baker's problem is with Thunder Rosa. I know they had some beef, apparently, with each other. I don't know if this is a work or not, but, like, anytime you see Britt Baker talking about anything, she's running down Thunder Rosa to the point that it almost feels like bullying. It's kind of ridiculous. So I am, for one, happy to see Thunder Rosa back. I think she's an incredible talent. She's a great wrestler. She's super nice. I've never met Britt Baker. She seems okay, but I heard if you want to hate Britt Baker, watch this new show that they've got that's unscripted or whatever, the one where they go backstage, All Access, I think it's called. Because she sounds like an insufferable cunt on that show. And I don't use the word insufferable often. So, Hold on. Let me do this again. I don't use the term insufferable often. Anyway, now go on with your story. I just wanted to put over Thunder Rosa because I get tired of seeing the heat. That's fair.
So again, all of this is I don't want to call it unsubstantiated because there's some credible, you know, information going around theoretically here, but all of it is up in the air. The positive look at all of this is that Punk was never involved, or that maybe the best version is they're keeping him a surprise. He doesn't have anywhere near as much backstage pull as some people claim he does.
Right.
They created an extra show because they're getting a big cash infusion. This was another part of a going rumor from Warner Brothers now that they've done that kind of deal there. And that basically they really did just need another show to highlight talent. And they're actually going to put some effort into it. This is like the absolute pinnacle of good news that it could be. Right. Know, they overhired on talent. They were unhappy. They're going to make them happy and make some money. So we got a new show. If it means that, hey, we can also, you know, do a roster split so that some people who don't want to work together don't have to see each other, then great. We don't have to fire anybody and everybody still gets to make money and wrestle and be happy. Unfortunately, it feels like there's no way that every good part of that is true. Some part of it is probably not working.
Right.
If CM Punk really is kind of cherry picking talent for a show so that he doesn't have to work with people he doesn't want to work with, that's kind of shitty, right? I mean, at least they're very getting much so. Work.
Yeah.
That seems dumb.
Yeah.
If it's the case that, you know, he said he was going to do it, now he's not going to do it, that fucking sucks. If it really is going to be a thing where, like, yeah, we're going to have more TV, but that just means you're going to see 30 more minutes of MJF every week. And don't get me wrong, I like MJF, but, like, come on, man. Importantly, in the poster that it was in that press release that you were talking about, MJF is highlighted. And everyone went, well, that doesn't make any sense. He's the AEW champion. We assumed he would be, like, on both shows. Again, the rumor is that that's where Punk was supposed to be. His graphic was supposed to be there, and they pulled MJF. It.
Yeah,
and they put MJF instead because it's fair to say, well, he's the champion; he's going to be on both shows, so we'll highlight him there. That's the rumor,
man. If it's true that Punk got his own show, one that you would go so. Man, I'm torn because on the one hand, I get why you would go so crazy for Punk and basically do whatever he says because, like, he's like he said, and like Jim Cornette said, and other people have said, Punk got them their first $1 million gate. Punk took them higher than they'd ever gone before. But at the same time, Punk also created such a toxic work environment that we're still talking about it a year plus later. And you know, you're still seeing the consequences of it. But the fact that they just went all out for him, no pun intended, and said, we'll give you anything you want. We'll give you your own show. You can cherry pick the roster. I have a hard time believing that they got to a point where all of this was set in stone, and then Punk went, okay, what about Ace Steel? And they went, well, he's not employed here anymore. Ah, well, then I'm out. Like, you had to have think that that had to be a conversation they had beforehand. You know?
Yeah, so again, this is why part of it to me is like, you know, some of this stuff doesn't add up, and it sounds like it would be the best dramatic version, right? The one that's most like, ooh, people are pissing at each other. And, you know, it's just reality TV bleeding into the internet with rumors. Give me that
tea. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. For what it's worth, and I was going to mention this earlier, and I forgot, this might be a good way to kind of put a little cap on this as we wrap it up. But CM Punk himself did comment on some things today. This was posted 4 hours ago. It's on his Instagram story. I don't know why he's so mad at Brian Alvarez. I guess maybe Alvarez was the one who broke some of this stuff originally. But it says, and I quote, look, everyone. This is an image, for the record, from his Instagram story. Quote, look, everyone, Brian Alvarez doesn't like it when misinformed internet trolls make up rumors about him. So please stop making up rumors and stories for clicks while Brian makes up rumors for and stories for clicks, okay? He's married, for God's sake. My God, that man has a family. And then in parentheses, Brian Alvarez, shut the fuck up and stop talking about me challenge day one. So, I mean, and we know Punk is no stranger to just saying whatever the fuck he wants on the internet. But yeah, apparently he is very upset. I have to highlight quickly that the first, because I pulled that from Squared Circle, the first comment and the highest rated one on that thread says that it was a weird choice to go with Alvarez versus Punk from the main event of the first Collision, but we'll let it play out. We'll see what happens.
Well, okay, but to be fair to Brian Alvarez, he is a wrestler, isn't he?
I think so, or he was, maybe. I don't know if he currently is, but he definitely was.
He has wrestled, so... Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, yeah, you could go with Punk versus Alvarez if you hate your fans. Yep. And
why not? I'm seeing the highlight for it should be light the fuse, break the news.
So as far as I know, did they cancel both Dark and Dark Evolution? Are both of those done?
Yeah, Dark and Dark Elevation are finished up.
I think I said because Evolution, basically, I apologize.
It's okay. They were, I didn't catch it until I started talking. They were YouTube shows, right? I mean, they were online shows, and it was something that they weren't getting a lot of views on. I think mainly they want to go to using their YouTube channel to highlight stuff that's on TV rather than more or less just giving away stuff for free. Here's some clips of things that happen on television that will pull you into watching our televised programming. And again, you've got 5 hours of hourly television now a week. That is, what, 2 hours shy of what WWE is doing? I mean, that's pretty significant, and you do have a large enough roster to justify it. But again, the key is going to be they've got to actually use it. WWE does a pretty good job of that, although they have a lot of people under contract who don't get highlighted still, which blows my mind when you have 7 hours of weekly television. Plus, like, they're still doing main event, I think, right? So there's another hour somewhere.
Yeah. I've never understood why they don't. I don't mind having extra shows on, especially for like different divisions. You know, they talked about doing the all women's show before, which would be great. I actually liked the Cruiserweight show. Now I can't even remember what it was called. What, 205 Live?
205 Live, yeah.
I loved 205 Live. That was some of my favorite wrestling every week. Yep. So I'm not opposed to bringing in new shows. I think doing the roster split with AEW, especially with the WWE draft happening at the same time, feels very Johnny come lately, you know? Like, well, it's an type thing.
It's an Impact or a TNA, not really Impact, but a TNA move, right? It's an old school TNA move of you're doing this, we're going to do it in kind of a, we're not doing it to mock you, but like, we're going to do what you did better. Actually, to be fair, it's a very Tony Khan move because AEW from the beginning has been, we're going to do the stuff that we liked about wrestling from the old days. They even made a point to say, like, the promo poster that you saw there for Collision looks a lot like WCW Nitro.
Yes, it does. Absolutely.
And that was the influence there, that they were trying to go with, like, here's the kind of old, not old school, but I guess it's old school now. It's 30 years later. Kind of wrestling. I know. it's the older style of wrestling that we liked and that we want to see more of on TV. So if we're going to do a roster split, we're going to have a hard split there, then it's going to be what we got in the early days of the WWE draft. And we're going to do what WWE does, but we're going to do it better. Well, better would be actually have a legitimate hard split. I mean, for what it's worth, something that I'm thinking of that would be a positive for AEW for that is they've got so many belts floating around right now, mm-hmm. right? You got a TNT title, a TBS title, a women's title, a world title. You got tag titles. You got trios titles. What am I missing? What is the one Orange Cassidy has? The international?
Interdimensional.
All Atlantic. It was All Atlantic, and then they changed it to something else.
And did they change it for a movie?
Yeah, something like that.
What movie was it? That was some dumbass thing. Probably Shazam.
But yeah, I mean, you got a lot. Okay, it's the AEW International Championship. They've got a lot of
of belts. And that's not counting Ring of Honor. Because, you know, we completely left Ring of Honor out of it, which is just AEW. I mean, you have AEW.
And that's another hour of AEW programming, effectively.
Yeah, like, so. I was watching, and nothing against them, because I have nothing against them. I'm actually a big fan. But I saw one of the Ring of Honor cards. Like one of the main events, if not the main event, maybe it was the co-main event, but it was Athena, which used to be Ember Moon, one of my favorite female wrestlers, going up against Sky Blue, or Blue Sky. I forget her name. I think it's Sky Blue.
Sky Blue.
Yeah, I don't dislike Sky Blue. She's super young. She's super green. But to put her on Ring of Honor for the title when she's done jack shit all in AEW. It just it reeks of like
even less than ROH. Like
yeah. So I guess they're trying to just throwing wrestlers at different things and seeing what sticks. So now you'll have, you know, part of the AEW roster is now on Ring of Honor, and they're playing it off like it's an actual different roster, even though it's not. And now potentially you've got Collision, where you've got the AEW guys on it, and they're pretending it's a different roster, and it's really not. I don't know, man. It's just, we'll see where it goes. But like, I'm getting a little sick of so much wrestling to watch per week. I know that sounds awful. How could you get sick of a good thing? Easily. Eat pizza every day, all day, and see how you feel after a week or two.
Well, somebody pointed it out not too long ago that, granted, WWE's PLEs, pay-per-views, whatever, have moved to
premium live events, yeah.
Yeah, but now you've got, so literally every night of the week, you have Raw on Monday, you've got NXT, is NXT Wednesday? No, NXT's Tuesday now, right?
I'm not crazy about that. Because they didn't want to go up against AEW anymore.
So Raw on Monday, NXT on Tuesday, Dynamite on Wednesday, and I think Impact airs on Wednesday too, right?
I think so,
Or maybe they're Thursday. I can't remember.
Maybe it's Thursday. I'm looking it up.
One way or another, between Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Impact, Collision now, Dynamite, Rampage, and I'm forgetting one, but there was something every night of the week. There was at least one show every night of the week, not counting Sundays. And again, if your premium live events or whatever are airing on Saturdays, you're watching Collision on Saturday, and then you watch that thing on Sunday because it's you can go back and watch it after it happens. It is too much. There are other things to do and other things to watch. There are only so many ways you can have a wrestling match, too. And certainly I'm not suggesting we should have less wrestling, but it's just maybe not so much at the same time. Do you remember it wasn't that long ago that even you and I were discussing professional wrestling should have like an off season?
Yeah.
Like if you're going to treat it like a sport, have an actual off season so these people don't get injured so often, so they can take a break and rest and be with their families.
Because it makes
that,
it feel
that seems to go out the window.
It makes like, it feel special. Like when you've got so much, because no offense to wrestling. I love wrestling. I do. I know I talk a lot of shit about it, but I mean, goddamn, I own a wrestling promotion, so I must like wrestling.
You cannot love something without criticizing it. That's just...
Agreed.
We criticize because we care.
Right.
That's why.
And I love wrestling, but it's not like wrestling is this... And people are going to jump on me for this. It's not this high art where you tune into wrestling every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday because you're getting something different each day. It's the same thing every day. It's just wrestling.
Yeah.
It's not like the storylines are fucking, you know, well-scripted. I mean, there's a writer's strike right now, and they haven't striked on wrestling. And there's a reason for that because the writers quote unquote are writers, they're not exactly like winning Emmys and shit for the work that they right. do. No offense to them, because there is some good stuff. The Bloodline storyline sure. up until WrestleMania was fantastic. But it feels less special when wrestling's every day for 3 hours
all
a day.
The time.
And I can't keep up with it, for the love of God. I know I can't. I know you can't.
No, hell no.
Dolly,
no, even,
maybe.
I mean, even in the heyday of, like, I think back to when I was in high school, and I was craving wrestling. Monday nights,
yeah.
Especially when Raw went from 2 to 3 hours, that was just like, because it only happened occasionally back then.
Right, right.
It was like, every once in a while, you get a 3 hour.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, you get a 3 hour episode of Raw, and it was just incredible, especially because I think I mentioned this last week when we were railing on the draft. When they first did the draft, I didn't get SmackDown. And so I was like, holy shit, I'm going to lose like all these wrestlers. I'm never going to see these guys again unless I order a $60 pay-per-view, you know.
Yeah.
In high school, I was craving wrestling because that's when I started watching. And then from there on into college. But it feels like we started getting more wrestling right around the time I could not devote more time to wrestling. When you're a kid, I mean,
you got all the time in the world.
Right, but to be fair, we've even reached a point now where the world has shifted in such a way that even high school kids don't have that kind of time.
Right.
Between
TikTok and Fortnite.
The I'm thinking part-time jobs.
Oh, that yeah, that too. That too.
Won't.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody's got to make, you know, TikToks. While
somebody's got to talk the tick.
But, again, who has the time? And people go, oh, well, it's you can watch it later. It gets TiVo is not the word anymore, but you can record it. You can pull it up on YouTube. You can do whatever. It's not that I don't have the time in the moment. It's that I don't have the time at all.
Yeah.
I can't devote that much time to wrestling, man.
I can't devote that much time, like a three-hour show. I was actually – I was going over this with my cohort, one of my cohorts, Brianna, and I was telling her – she was asking me, so when are you free? And I'm like, okay, well, let's go over real quick. I work 40 hours a week. I do this podcast. When I'm not doing the podcast, you know, I'm working on the game store that I own, or I'm working on the wrestling promotion that I own. Like, I work all the time. I take probably an hour out of my day to play Call of Duty with you and Jesse and the boys. And that's it. Like, where do you want me to squeeze in 20 hours of wrestling per week? You know,
when was the last time that you watched a wrestling show, and I'm talking about like WWE, AEW, whatever, and were not doing something else at the same time?
Only the pay-per-views. And even then, for the most part, lately, I'll have my phone on like the network while I'm playing something, or I'm writing something, or I'm working on something.
Yeah, you're doing something else while it's happening. Part of that is because we've been watching wrestling for so long that it can't even brand new wrestling can be background noise and you still know what's going on. Yeah. You know when you look up and like, oh, shit, what's going on?
Well, that's the other thing is, like, when was the last time you watched wrestling and were so excited for every moment of it that you went, I can't wait to watch tomorrow's and the next day's and the next day's? Because I'm like you. I remember back in the old day, you know, when I was in high school and then college – especially high school, you know, the mid-90s to late-90s, WCW versus WWF. Every Monday night, I had to pick between Raw or Nitro. And it was one fucking night a week that I watched wrestling, and I was so fucking excited for it. Every time Monday rolled around, I was like, oh, it's wrestling time. It's time. Ask Lindsay. Lindsay knows because she and I used to chat on ICQ. There's showing my age. We'd be on ICQ talking, and I would tell her, like, hey, I got to go. I'm going to go watch Raw, or I'm going to go watch Nitro.
Yeah.
But now it's like, hey, I got to go every single night because I got to go watch AEW Collision now. And I got to watch WWE Super Slam or whatever they're called. I don't have the time. And to be frank with you, I don't care. I don't care.
There's too many people doing the same thing at the same time.
Right. And
how could you possibly care about that?
Wrestling fans accept whatever shit they shovel to them. They love everything, and that's both a good thing and a bad thing, because that shows you how passionate wrestling fans are about their sport.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it shows you how gullible they are when it comes to the content that they are fed. I love Star Wars. I used to love Marvel, but so much of it just overwhelmed me, and to the point that I can't keep up with it, you know. Right. I'm lucky to keep up with the Star Wars shows that are on Disney. And forget Marvel. There's way too much Marvel. I can't keep up with all that shit. And now you're wanting me to do the same thing with wrestling. I'm not going to do it.
It's too many. It's too many things. And I hate that because, again, we have said numerous times, I feel like we're – some people are going to go, you guys are contradicting yourselves because we talk all the time about how we want more people to get more chances and to get on TV more often and to be highlighted and get paid. And I do want all of those things.
Same.
But at the same time, I need an understanding implicitly from the people producing those things. I can't be there for all of them.
Right.
I'm going to have to pick and choose. I'm going to have to make some choices.
Plus, and I'll be honest with you, those of you that are in the industry that are, you know, if you write for AEW or WWE and you're listening right now, and I know you do, if you wrote better, maybe I'd watch more.
I cannot understate how much more I care about stories in wrestling than I care about the wrestling. That might be like my – I feel like I'm not the only one, but there are some people who are like, well, then you're watching the wrong fucking show because the stories aren't the important thing, right? It's the wrestling, and then we just write some stories to go around it. Since day one, and I had to have a – I was going to say I had to have a hard conversation with myself about this. I remember sometime post-college where I was like, why am I watching this? I don't like any of this. I'm so bored. It's all the same shit. And I recognized it was the stories. From day one, I've been watching because of the stories. The wrestling
and the characters.
Is cool. And it's a very cool art form. Yeah. But yeah, the characters and the stories to me go hand in hand. I need interesting characters and I need them doing something I care about. And the wrestling is just a vehicle to get that shit. The wrestling is the chicken nugget to get the dip and the sauce into my mouth. Right? That's all I care about.
It brings me back to, and I know it's a controversial person now, but Max Landis, wrestling isn't wrestling. That was a fantastic short that he did. And I agree that the best part about wrestling isn't the wrestling, because once you have an understanding that wrestling is scripted and that all the moves you're seeing are rehearsed, there's no you don't get the same feeling watching it that you would watching, you know, when I was a kid, I watched Mike Tyson fight. I was a big Tyson fan. My dad and I watched boxing constantly. And we'd watch boxing because we wanted to see two guys slugging it out and see who was the better man. Wrestling's not that. Wrestling is scripted. It's choreographed. It's decided early who wins and who loses. So once you take that out of the equation, you have to have some good characters to watch. If the Star Wars films or the Marvel films were just fighting nonstop with no character development and no, you know, growth, what would be the point of watching it? It'd get boring so fast. At first, you'd be like, oh, wow, this is really cool. Like, they're fighting these aliens and the big explosions and robots and shit. But eventually, that shit would get boring, and it's the same thing for wrestling. Every time I watch wrestling, and I still can't pronounce the guy's name, El Viking something, and Commander, and guys like that, when I see them do their, like, spinny flips off the top and through tables, and everyone's going gaga over it, I go, I mean, that's cool. I grew up watching wrestling. I saw Rey Mysterio do cool shit, too. Who is he? Who is Commander? What is his character?
Right. And again, it's the homogenization is that we're getting. Well, you're talking about Rey Mysterio and what you and I watched in the 90s and then on into the early, sort of into the early 2000s, was you had a huge variety. I mean, one of the things that WCW did really, really well, and ECW before them, because let's be honest, Eric Bischoff in a lot of ways was just copying what Paul Heyman was doing on a grander scale,
right.
Was you had so much differentiation. You had some Lucha Libre. You had some garbage wrestling, right? Some people throwing chairs and trash cans at each other. You had some real powerhouses. If you're talking ECW, I'm thinking of Mike Awesome and Tanaka. Was it Tanaka?
Tanaka.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Tanaka, thank you.
Tanaka.
You had that, and then you had, you know, your very classic stars across both shows all the way up into WWF. WWF started doing this really well. And in fact, really, that's when they started doing well, was when you were highlighting different types of people who wrestled different kinds of ways. It wasn't just the moves that were different. It was the way they carried themselves. I mean, you go back and watch any match with The Rock. The Rock was, for many, many years, my favorite wrestler. But watch any match with him. What's he doing? Punches, kicks, DDTs, suplexes. I mean, it's the most basic moves, but it's the way that he carries them. It's the way he carries himself. And the moment that The Rock starts talking or moving or doing anything, you know who he is as a person. You know who this character is.
That's me in wrestling right now. Like, I've talked to this with the guys at CCW. I've wrestled. Last year, I wrestled like 7 or 8 months out of the year. You know, we do one show a month. This year, I've only wrestled twice. I'm wrestling again this month and next month and after. And I've barely trained, but I keep my moves very simple. Punches, kicks, clotheslines, slams. But it's the personality. Like, I could step out there and the crowd goes nuts just for me because the personality, the charisma, the way I carry myself.
They know
who I am. But then you have some guys come through CCW who are absolutely insane talents in the ring. I mean, I can never do what they do, but they don't get over with the crowd as much because
who are they?
Right, because they rely simply on their wrestling, and as good as they are, there's always somebody that's just as good or better or similar. So you really have to find a way to stand out.
To bring this all back to the ingrained issue with AEW putting more wrestling on TV, it's been a very common criticism of them, especially for their pay-per-views, for their big events, the non-televised, you got to pay to get in kind of thing. Not non-televised, but you know what I mean, not weekly television. The big criticism of their events has been you never let it breathe. Right. If WWE is good at one thing, they do a match, they do a big event. WrestleMania, especially night one, was a great example of this. They do something and then you have a little come down. Let's do a preview for the next match. Let's, hawk a piece of merch or something and then come back to the thing. AEW is just bam, 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 bam out of the cannon. And a lot of their highlight is the wrestling. There's no story there. I mean, it's just match ends. Let's move right on to the next thing. I don't have time to breathe. I don't have time to even get invested in what's going on. And that's even worse for your story. So when your alleviation of we have too much talent is let's put more of them on television regularly, I think it makes sense that our immediate concern is, but what are they going to be doing other than hitting each other?
Right.
I need to care about who these people are as characters. I think you and I were talking about this either last week or maybe it was just like over Discord or something. We're on Discord now, but you know what I mean. Hey. Miro, I get it, man. People like the guy because he's funny and he's got a good personality, but we never see that on TV. Why is everyone so fucking hyped about Miro coming back to TV? He's a decent wrestler and he's got an interesting look, but who is he? And what does he do?
I don't watch enough AEW, but apparently, and before anyone gets on there and says, well, you should. Okay, well, I understand that apparently he did this character, the Redeemer, and he was angry at God or something because he felt like he should have everything and he didn't, so now he's going to take it out on everybody. I don't know. I didn't watch it, so I can't pass judgment on it, but apparently it was good.
Okay.
It was good to the point that even Jim Cornette and Brian Lass were like, we're excited about Miro now, and we're happy he's back. So maybe there's something there, but I haven't seen it. So, like...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I have no idea what I'm missing here with this guy.
Yeah, and I'm not going to dig through 40 hours a week of wrestling to try to figure it out. That's my problem when you have so many people on your roster and you have so many shows, is that even if you are, showcasing them on a different shows, there's just only so much to go around. People's attention spans are going to go down. You're going to lose interest in these people. You're spreading yourself too thin. But with all that said, I am curious to see what Punk's interaction with this is, or involvement, because personally, I do hope that this was all about him, and then he balked and he walked away because they wouldn't hire Ace Steel back. Because
that would be hilarious. CM Punk has the opportunity to do the funniest thing possible here, and that's you've spent a year in like self-imposed exile. Maybe it was self-imposed. We don't know. Tony Khan came to you hat in hand. Like, this is the story, right? It came to you going, please, please come back. And Punk's like, all right, but here's what you got to do. You got to find a way to get two more hours of television together. That's going to be my show, but we're not going to call it that because I'm not a total dickhead.
Right.
I get to pick who's on the show. You're going to split your roster. I get to pick who's on the show. It's going to be my show. I'm going to make a huge appearance. It's going to be in Chicago. We're going to call it The Second Coming, and you're going to do everything I want. And Tony's like, yeah, done, deal. I'll make it happen. He spends months setting all this up, cutting deals, spending money. And then Punk goes, all right, so we got it all set up. I'm coming back. Has anybody called Ace yet and let him know that I'm coming? And they're like, oh, we fired Ace Steel. And Punk goes, well, he just grabs his fedora
and walks out.
Walks right back out the door.
If this is
the shittiest thing, but it's so funny.
if this is the real story, if this is true, you would also have to wonder if the Ace Steel thing was such a big deal for Punk, why they wouldn't just hire the guy back. Like, he bit somebody. Right. He threw something. But, like, wrestlers do shitty things all the time, and he's a backstage guy. Just bring him back. He's a backstage guy.
Just bring it all back. We wanted characters anyway. Bring him back in a fucking Hannibal Lecter mask.
Yeah.
Put the guy on a dolly and have him strapped down to it, and someone just wheels him around behind CM Punk on the show all the time. No one acknowledges it.
Right.
They play it totally straight.
Right.
I would lose my shit.
Yeah.
Because again, you and I both have rightly criticized AEW constantly for playing a lot of insider baseball. They're right. always referencing shit that like the casual fans
very not weak, get. Weak, it's nudge, not nudge. Growing. Yeah.
If you're gonna do it, go balls to the wall, dude.
Yeah.
I want to see this thing happen. Just make it happen.
Right.
That's hilarious to me.
And I think that's a good way to end it, unless you got any other stories.
I have one thing I want to tack on to the end. It's not much of a story, but you remember AEW Fight Forever, their video game that they announced in 2004 before they were a company?
That thing, that thing is fucking shovelware at this point.
So, I've not seen anywhere reputable mention this, so I want to clarify and make it clear up front that, like, I'll constantly say, hey, these are rumors, these are rumors. This is coming from something called Pure Xbox, and there are a few other places that had it, but this is not even like 411.
Boy, that's a reliable source, too. Pure Xbox. They break again, all the pictures.
Yeah, this is speculation. Well, they check and recheck the facts. This is total speculation, but there are a few like little fringe sites that are announcing that AEW Fight Forever is coming in the next like few weeks. That as late as June would be the latest we would actually finally get the game. And the reason for this is that supposedly two things. Number one, some Xbox fans, Xbox only, have found that they can start preloading the game by using the Xbox app right now. That the file size is about 17, a little over 17 gigs, and that if you use the app and you have pre-ordered the game, you can preload it right now. So that to them was indication that the game is not that far away.
Right.
The other thing is, again, supposedly, the achievement list has leaked for the game, which is usually one of those things that, like, well, when the achievement list comes out, then the game itself is usually just a few weeks away. Importantly, AEW themselves, Tony Khan, nobody, Yuke's, THQ, I forget who's working on this thing. None of them have said this game is coming out soon, other than to say it's coming out soon, you know, 6 months ago.
Right.
No one has given a date. No one has made a recent announcement or anything. I'm going to send you the link so you can look it over. I'll put it in the Discord. If the achievement list is accurate, then none of it is really anything which you would beyond expect. I do think it's funny that apparently in your creator wrestler, you will be able to use, I guess basically you'll just be able to copy Orange Cassidy's style on you, because there's an achievement called Who Needs Hands, and it says using the sloth style skill, win a match by pinfall with hands in pocket. So,
I like the kaboom one. Trigger three rope explosions on an opponent during an exploding barbed wire death match. I hope it's as exciting as the one between Moxley and Omega. Yeah.
Yeah, the kid that Eddie Kingston actually died in, except he didn't, because even he got up and was like, "What the hell was that?"
Man.
So none of this is really all that surprising, but if that is the case, then that would be one of those kind of gets that's like a big surprise. I guess basically the idea, the reason this all came up was that supposedly, we're going to launch the game right around the time that Collision comes out. And so, you know, you get it all at one time. Who knows? We'll see.
I want the game to be good, for the record.
Sure.
Because
absolutely.
I think 2K22... 2K22 and 2K23 were both really good. Like, really good. Both are really fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do want to play something different. I bought Retromania Wrestling. Dalton kind of convinced me to get it because he was excited about it. And it's fun. It's a really fun. It's fun to the point that, so there's a Retromania Wrestling arcade, like, that II Arcade sells. And it's $800, but it's on sale till Sunday for $300. And I'm sitting here going like, I could use another arcade in the arcade down here. But and if this game plays more like the old WWE games from the 64, you know, a lot of people say those are the best wrestling games of all time. They're wrong, because those games are old. And the the graphics are bad compared to today's standards. The wrestling is slow. And don't get me wrong, I like simulation, but they do that thing when they block, they stick their chest out. That's not how you block an attack, for the record. Yeah, that's not how you do it.
I would even accept like the boxing, like put both fists up, you know,
but not just stick your chest out. That's only something that's what someone does when they want to have a chop off battle, because I know, because me and Trent Daniels had one in November,
which I assume is why that's the blocking animation, because this was developed by mostly a Japanese company, right? If I remember correctly, it was a very like, so they used a lot of like Japanese mannerisms, because that came from the old WCW game.
Yeah, it was based, I mean, that whole engine was based on the Virtual Pro Wrestling, I think it was called, series. So they basically just took the Japanese game and then you know, Americanized it. Aki man.
Yeah.
But I think this game, with everything we know about it, unless this game's gameplay is so good that it makes up for everything else, this game is going to get fucking shattered upon release. People are going to tear this thing apart. So
I'm not even going to try to go find them, because the screenshots could just as they're almost definitely not real.
Yeah.
But if they were, it doesn't look great. And what we saw earlier of the game was that it was a little cartoony, and it was kind of borrowing from the old No Mercy style. And I don't know, man. Like you said, I want it to be good too. If only because if you're the second biggest wrestling company in the world, you kind of need a good video game, right? I mean, that's just part and parcel of the industry.
Yeah, I mean, look what happened to TNA. You know, TNA brought out Impact Wrestling, and it was horrible. It had a lot of, it did a couple things that were really cool, but for the most part, it was pretty bad. And they never put another game out. And now, I'm pretty sure the TNA Impact game is worth more than the TNA Impact or than the Impact stock, but I don't know for sure. I'm not Michael Wall Street.
Harder to come by.
Yeah. All right, can we get out of here?
Yeah, that's it. So, I mean, I don't know. If somebody wants to try it, somebody's listening, and you've got Dalton. I know Dalton. You bought this game.
You've already pre-ordered it.
This fucking game.
Yeah, you've got the Ultimate
Edition.
Probably
on the Xbox.
Yeah.
Yeah, so go in on the app and see if you can preload the game. And if you can, I mean, again, that doesn't mean anything. You still can't play it. But the suggestion is, if you could preload it, then the game's pretty well done, and you can expect it in a few weeks. So, who knows? We'll see.
Well, all I know is that it's it's going to be bad. Okay, that's going to do it for us tonight. Let's. Hey, look at that. We did it. We made it through an episode. One more. Hold on. Let me get this one real quick. All right. We'll be back tomorrow.
It sounds like a car horn when you do two of them.
It's no duck game, that's for sure, with the dedicated quack.
That's for sure.
We'll be back tomorrow with an all-new After Dark. Lindsay's going to have a great top five for us, probably. I don't know at this point. Until then, though, for myself and Double H, we're out of here. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Hunter, please take us out. Please.
Five Finger Death Punch is music for divorced.
Dummy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.